Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hour numero dos to the Rob Brown Show starts right now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Brown and the great one Lonzo with you on a beautiful upstate Friday morning. How y'all doing? I am Rob Brown. He is Lonzo. Hope you're having a spectacular Friday. Busy Friday here on the radio broadcast. WWE Intercontinental Champion Gunther will be joining us here in about 45 minutes from right now. If you'd like to join us on the stream, he will be on the stream with us. He will be in studio. We have already got his streaming station set up. So Gunther will join us live on the stream. You can watch at facebook.com/thefanupstate, twitter.com/thefanupstate, or by searching and subscribing to The Rob Brown Show on either YouTube or on Twitch, your choice. We have got Gunther coming up in about 45 minutes. Then after that, he will be joining us until about 11:15. We'll cut him loose. He'll get on the road to WWE SmackDown live tonight at the Bonscore Wellness Arena. Last I checked, there are a few tickets remaining to the show. Not many. It will be sold out by tonight. And they have also announced that WWE champion, both Universal and Heavyweight, Roman Reigns will be in attendance this evening. He was announced yesterday.
Don't forget, there's another champion that's going to be there. Gunther. Aside from Gunther, and that would be Charlotte Flair.
Ooh.
Putting her title on the line, yep, against Sonya Deville tonight.
Looking forward to that. So we will talk in the last segment a little bit about the show tonight. We will talk with Gunther coming up in about 45 minutes. Before we get there, though, y'all know I like to get weird on Fridays, right? Like, Fridays are just for fun. Lonzo, I'm going to run here to clip two, if you don't mind. If you have been on the interwebs for any length of time, you are going to recognize the sound that we are about to play. This sound is from professional bowling great Pete Weber. Now, you may not recognize the name Pete Weber, but if you are a fan of the interwebs, you will recognize this celebration. Pete Weber won a bowling major championship a couple of years back. And Pete Weber dropped one of the most awkward but greatest moments of victory in the history of professional bowling. It is a victory celebration that has been emulated by many, recreated by few over the years. It is something that to this day I will still drop when I put an X up on the board at the alley. Pete Weber had this celebration after knocking down a strike to win a major open in the world of pro bowling.
Strike to claim it. A strike to claim it. And he got it!
Yes! That is why I did it! Another five! Are you kidding me? That's right! Who do you think you are? I am! David Wright!
Another strike. I did it. Who do you think you are? I am! who do you think you are? I am. Which was weird because it was just an awkward celebration, right? It was just an awkward celebration for Pete Weber that never really made sense. Well, he joined the Barstool podcast, Pardon My Take. Now, they asked him about this. I triple checked it. It's clean. In fact, the only cuss word that he dropped in this, because after the celebration where he knocked a GD down that I bleeped out, I'm like, let me triple check this. Okay? And I did. And the only thing he said was at one point he said, I'm pedo, and I took that out because Monday. So anyway, they asked him about that celebration. One of the most notorious celebrations in sports history. Who do you think you are? I am. And he told the story of why he said that and who he said it to. And I found out that Pete Weber might be my favorite athlete of all time.
Where did you come up with who do you think you are, I am? Or did it just come out of you?
Well, actually, it just was kind of a missay because I was sitting there and I was thinking what I was going to say to the kid that was giving me trouble during the match. And it was like I wanted to say, who do you think you are with me in my house?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and it just came out, who do you think you are? I am.
And that's the best part of the story that I think a lot of people don't know. That was directed to a 12-year-old kid.
Oh, well, yeah, 12, 13, 14, you know, I'm not real sure.
That makes it even better. Like so what was the kid was, like, heckling you during the game?
Well, he rooted out loud a couple times against me the second frame when I left a 10-pin. He just loud enough, yes, you know, that when I left the 10-pin. And, you know, I don't care if you root, but don't root loud enough for me to hear.
Yeah.
You know, because that's just takes away from everything. But it me off, so you know, when I get mad, I let people know about it, and I've never held back.
Pete Weber said a 12, 13, 14 year old kid was bleeping with me in my house, so I let him have it. I'm gonna go ahead and tell you that if there's a kid for, I feel like at 13, 14, you're kind of in that zone, right? Like, you're not a child. If he's like, yeah, there's a four-year-old kid, I'd be like, all right, Pete, like, rein it in a little bit. But sports are fun. They're supposed to be fun. Even when you're boat-talking each other, sports are supposed to be fun. So there's a 12, 13, 14-year-old kid. He said, I left a 10-pin that I needed, and he went, yes, loud enough for me to hear it, giving me the goods while I'm bowling. So I knocked down the X to win that round. I took that moment, and I wanted to say, who the bleep do you think you are? I am the best. And instead, it just stumbled out. Who do you think you are? I am.
Doesn't it sound like a Michael Jordan thing? Finding an enemy and using that as motivation.
Oh, yeah. That dude. So, you know, I've thrown darts. I played pool. I'm terrible at both of them. I bowl. I am average at best. But there is the old secret trick, right? You need a bullseye. What do? You take your ex's face in your mind and you put it right there on the top. Or you take your coworker you can't stand it when you put his face on the board. Or you take that guy who tripped you at the airport that one time and didn't apologize. And you mentally put his face on the head pin or on the bullseye or on that eight ball you got to knock down or whatever. And it gives you that little more extra focus to make sure you get a good connection there. This dude said there was a 14-year-old kid in the crowd heckling me, and when I knocked down the X to win that tournament, I decided to give him hell. I'm all in for it. Pete Weber has just jumped to the top of my favorite athletes list. Kevin said, be honest, is bowling a sport? It's a competition.
There are balls. There are collision. It's a sport.
I'm fine calling bowling a sport, Right? It requires some level of talent, physical ability, coordination, agility, timing.
If bowling is not a sport, then golf is not a sport. There are a lot of things that you can, if you say this is not, well, then you've got to remove some other things.
I will tell you in all honesty, golf is harder than bowling, but I consider them both sports, right? Now, the conversation is not bowling a sport. The combination here is my guy, in a heated moment, found his inspiration in, let me shut down this 13-year-old heckler. Let me make sure he knows, do you know who you're talking to? Who do you think you are? I am! And the best part was, that's not even what he wanted to say to the kid. He was just so ramped up to make sure that that 13-year-old knew exactly who the hell he was that he couldn't even get the smack talk out.
I'm glad that you and I have never experienced on the air thinking you're saying something and saying something totally
different. No, not at all. Never happens.
We have never had that problem.
That kind of boat would never happen on this show.
Never.
Not at all. That's why I'm not mad about it. There have been moments where in the heat of competition, you go to drop a line on the dude giving you grief, and it just blah, 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 on the way out. Happens to everybody. Happened to Jordan. Happens to Braun. Happens to everybody. Nobody gets it right 100% of the time. But to me, it's the thought that counts. If your 13-year-old is ripping on me when I am playing a game, I'm going to run junk at your 13-year-old. There have been games where I've played with the nephew, Lou, my dude, my guy, my favorite person on planet Earth. And I go in with I do this to the lady friend too. I go in with every intention of letting that person win. This happens with the lady friend all the time. It's happened with Lou.
Wait. You don't let someone win. I don't care if you're 2 years old or 97. You don't let someone win. The whole point of competition is to defeat the opponent.
Right, but there's a difference in the level of competition versus recreation. Me playing Go Fish with my little nephew, that's not a competition. He's six.
Hey, I lost at Candyland a couple weeks ago to my granddaughter.
Is it still eating at you?
I was not happy about it. It took her a while to grasp the fact that she won. And, but like a couple hours later, my wife told me, she said, I beat Papa.
Oh, she's going to let you hear that for a minute.
Good. That means she understands she beat me.
Look.
And that's what competition is for.
Here's the direction I'm driving at, right?
I mean, I won a good game and, you know, and sportsmanship and all that, but I want to win.
But here's the direction I'm driving at. I don't disagree. Like, if I go play putt-putt with the nephew, I'll go in with every intention of letting in because, yes, I want him.
And he'll bring his own putter, which is just not.
No, if I'm playing somebody like Lonzo, yeah, I'm bringing my own putter because I ain't coming for anything less than blood, son.
Dude, if you're playing Lou, you're bringing your own putter. You cannot go to a putt-putt course and not bring your own putter.
True.
It's not within
but
you.
But I will still miss a couple easy ones, miss a couple layups to let Lou win so he gets a little confidence. Until he goes, I'm better at this than you, Uncle Rob. Oh, chow. You better learn. The lady friend gets this smoke all the time because I got no problem letting her win at something. But she is incapable of humbly accepting the W. So if we go and play putt-putt or go bowling or play the par three course, the threes downtown or whatever, and we're having that conversation, and she's like, hey, babe, check out the scorecard. It's like, okay, let's check out the scorecard.
I'm sure there's a little something more behind that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she brings the heat. She
yes,
don't care.
Yes.
And she will never accept that sometimes I try to let her win. But she will also beat me at stuff. I'm not gonna not
all right,
say
all right.
That.
So you're giving off an air of surprise. She will also beat me at stuff.
Are you not surprised when someone beats you at something?
No.
Yes.
No, I'm not. Okay. I'm older.
I get surprised to lose anything. All right. I think Ian Ace is at everything.
Yeah, there's a certain arrogance behind being surprised you lost.
100%.
Yeah, there absolutely
100%.
Is.
But arrogance is where competition breeds arrogance, right? You think Mike ever attacked the game and didn't attack the game with the feeling of I'm the best in the world, right? Now,
I mean, admittedly, there are certain video games that I don't play anymore because my son got so good at them that I could, and these are fighting games, that I just got my butt whipped.
Yeah.
And then he went to college and did the same thing to everyone there. So it wasn't like it was just me, which made me feel better that his peers, he was doing the same to.
Yeah. The thing is, if there's
pride and there's also hurt because you realize that your child has surpassed you at something, but then there's, yeah, he's that good.
Yeah. The lady friend and I played the threes course like a year and a half ago on a date night, right? She was kind of getting into golf with me a little bit. We went and played. And the natural enemy of Rob Brown is a par three. You put me on the tee box on a four or five, I'm like, man, I know exactly what I'm playing. You put me on a tee box at a par three and I freak out. It's just, it's in my head. I can't help it. So I thought this would be good practice, right? I'm going to go out there. And instead of playing the way I would normally play, instead of playing safe par threes, which is always my goal, I'm aiming for the biggest part of the green, even if it means I got a 30-footer. I'd rather get it on the green and roll up a 30-foot layup and then tap in for a par. And we went out, and she beat me on, like, the first two holes, right? She's not a bad golfer. She beat me on, like, the first two holes. And by hole three, we're walking up to three, and she goes, it's 6-5, and I'm winning. I'm like, oh. Okay. So now Rob Brown's got to attack the holes. Now Rob Brown's got to go get a couple of birdies. Because I had no problem. I'm like, if she wins, she wins. I'm out here for practice. And then it turned into, right? So I got no problem with Pete Weber, professional bowler, turning around and giving a 13-year-old kid hell and telling him, who do you think you are? I am! An incredible moment. And now to find out it was directed at a preteen. Go ahead, big dog. Let's get him. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's run to a break. We'll come back here in just a minute from right now. I got a few more things I want to get into. Little Panther talk coming up. Scott Fitterer said a couple of days ago that in an ideal world, the Panthers are drafting and developing their quarterback this year. And he added on to that this week. I'm going to address that, give some thought behind it, and then coming up in the final segment of this hour and the first of the next WWE Intercontinental Champion, Gunther, will be joining us here on the show. Friday night SmackDown tonight at the Well. Tickets are still available if you want to pick one up. Lonzo and I will be there. Give him a hug. He loves it. Hug life.
Stop it.
Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Rob Brown Show right here on the Fan Upstate. Couple minutes early and who cares? Excited, honored, privileged to welcome on to the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. He is your current reigning, defending, undisputed WWE Intercontinental Champion and Royal Rumble Iron Man. The legendary Gunther is in the studio with us. How you doing, young man?
Doing very good. Thank you for having me. How are you guys doing?
We're good. It's Friday Night SmackDown. It's here in town. We're both wrestling guys. Get to go to a live show and talk to a man who just put on the performance of a lifetime. Congrats on that, by the way.
Oh, thank you. It definitely was. I could really feel that might be a career-changing night. So, yeah, went for it and was, yeah.
I love it. Let's
real quick. Rob's fine. I'm nervous, man. Cause
he's not going to hit you. Well, still, I don't think he's going to hit you.
Still, I mean, I just I'm imagining, and I just want to do this. I don't know if you're watching on the stream. I just want to cover my chest area and make sure that you know it doesn't end up stinging really bad eventually.
So I did have this. So obviously, and this is going to be a focus, I'm sure, for most people you talk to. But you have been renowned throughout your career for putting the chop on people.
Yes.
How bad does your hand hurt? Because it's loud, man.
To be fair, usually not. But after the Rumble, really,
you handed out a few.
I felt my limbs hurting for a few days, I got to say. Yeah, I got to be honest.
I want to talk. Let's talk a little bit about your career. Obviously, wrestling up through the ranks in Europe. We saw the expansion when NXT added the European Championship. And we really have seen over the past 10 years, and I credit you and Ilya and a couple of other guys for kind of taking European wrestling and getting it not on the map in North America, but really ingratiating it into kind of the main event scene. What has it been like for you to wrestle in Europe, have that European style, and then see it begin to become successful and continue to grow here in the States?
Yeah, it's been a crazy journey if you look back at it, obviously, because I'm 35 now. I started wrestling when I was 17, I think, so I wrestled half my life, basically. And it's really just been the last 6 years, five, 6 years, where it all came together when I started out coming around more in the indies and then being able making a living of it and stuff like that, because it's a little bit more complicated when you come out of Europe. Like, not anymore, because like you mentioned, the business changed. But when I started, yeah, it was unrealistic to ever be in that situation I am right now. There was like, just making a living of wrestling was something that was so incredibly unrealistic. So to achieve that goal a few years ago, that was already something crazy. And then you touched on that NXT UK. That was when WWE really opened up to the European market. And I've been in touch with them for a while. And then, yeah, just went with it and see where it goes and ended up here.
So when NXT UK started, by the way, the longest reigning NXT UK champion.
Yes.
So they not only decided to make that move, but trust you, as well as some other guys, Pete Dunne, Ilya, etc. But they really kind of trusted you to be the face of that brand, to grow it and get the attention here in the States. Is wondering, what did that mean to you? Did that kind of feel like this is kind of becoming real for me?
Oh, yeah, of course. And that's a very privileged situation, though, because at the end, I'm very proud of my wrestling heritage, if that makes sense, and the European wrestling, because of history and stuff, was always very important to me. So to be in that position, be the representative of European wrestling with the most eyes on, I would say, the European wrestler with the most eyes on, It was a great opportunity. And I think especially through COVID, because there was a big throw. We had with NXT UK, we had the events in an empty studio, basically, and stuff like that. But I think I kind of benefited from that. I have a very physical style. And I think with no audience, a lot of that came across way more than it would be with fans in the arena.
So as a fan of wrestling, in different countries, there's different styles. If you look at Japan's wrestling style compared to American style, what's the difference between the European style of wrestling and the American style of wrestling, and how much of an adjustment did it take to start using this style, or did you just use your own style and incorporate other things?
Yeah, I think I'm basically still myself. Like, I never really changed to wrestle in America. I think that's one of the things that make me unique, is that I don't wrestle like any other person. And the styles are different, because when I first got in touch with wrestling, it was my parents took me to the tournament in Vienna. We had like 30, 40 days. Every day there was a tournament in the same place, and it was completely sports-based, presentation-wise. It was all focused on the competition and stuff. So our style was different. It was way more technical and physical, I would say. And while in the US, it was always more about the entertainment aspect, colorful, big show and stuff like that. And I think in the last years, all of that came a little bit more together again, where it is about the entertainment and stuff like that, but it's about that real solid craftsmanship underneath it that what makes it really exciting at the end.
And obviously, coming from that European background, we have seen the diversity in professional wrestling, WWE, AEW opening up with New Japan, etc. And it's, to me, the interesting thing about the diversity is it's not just about getting people from different backgrounds and countries and races and creeds, but mixing those styles together too. So you've got guys like Shinsuke Nakamura, who kind of brought that Japan strong style. We've got guys like you bringing that very physical European style. And then you mix it up with, like you mentioned, the kind of John Cena's of colorful showmanship of the American style. Do you think that that is what's helped keep WWE not just relevant, but really at the top of the pecking order through all these changes like COVID, et cetera?
Yeah. I mean, of course, like WWE always had the best wrestlers in the world always wrestled in a WWE ring. If you look back, you can even, when you look back, go back like Eddie Guerrero, for example. He was everywhere, or Chris Jericho. They were everywhere before they finally came to WWE and were in the big stage and stuff like that. So the best wrestlers always ended up here. And that's what it should be. That's what your goal should be at the end of the day. To be in the ring on the highest level, with the best wrestlers that you can compete against.
All right, so before you came to WWE, I had a couple buddies in the building who were big time into all the other aspects of wrestling, and they're like, you've got to see this video. So there are compilation videos out there. They're still out there, I'm sure they are, of nothing but your chops.
Yeah.
And so that was my first introduction to that, and I'm like, wow, this is amazing. Have you ever made anyone cry?
Maybe on the inside, yeah. Could be, but you can see people are animals, right? They just want to see violence these days. It would make me famous, I guess.
It's and we'll kind of circle back to where you are now as the ring general, kind of the de facto leader of Imperium, which, by the way, is an incredible faction to me. Like the presentation that and the style that you guys bring, but it all kind of centered on this character that you have created and developed and nurtured within WWE. How did you end up going through all the different iterations of your characters to land on the ring general that you're portraying now in WWE?
Oh, I didn't really have characters before. It was just me.
Sure.
I was just a big guy in wrestling in Germany called Big Daddy Walter.
Yes.
And it was actually Ludwig's father was a very successful wrestler in Germany and Austria. So my parents, they would watch him when he wrestled at the tournaments. And he was always he was old school. He passed away a few years ago, but he would still come to the shows when we wrestled. And I think he was already in his 70s and stuff like that. So he's from a complete different generation, where it was all about sports presentation and stuff like that. And we identified with that. Of course, Ludwig does. He's a second-generation wrestler. I always liked that style. And then when we wrestled in Germany for WXW, we had Timothy Thatcher come in. And he already had the music that we use now. He already did the post that we do now. And we were like, yeah, that's what we want to do as well. Because we, like Ludwig and I, we both didn't have like character or identity down that it was like natural to us. And that's what we want to do. It would really fit us. And then we just talked and was like, hey, you want to do that? That whole idea, ring general, like ring general is a wrestling term. It's like the guy who is in control in the ring. I took that, and then we had the second generation part with Ludwig, the charismatic guy. We had that rough guy with Timothy Thatcher, and then that was the group. And since then, yeah, Tim is not with us anymore. We have Giovanni now, but the identity of the group is basically still the same. So that didn't really have to change for WWE. They just took it how it was and ran with it.
One of the things that I've enjoyed, we talked about diversity a second ago, and obviously as somebody who grew up watching wrestling in the late 80s and 90s here in the States, there was always this thing where if we had a wrestler come in internationally, he was always by default the bad guy, and it was always to some degree almost kind of cartoonish in the presentation. But obviously in the last decade or so, that's kind of changed, right? Like the story is no longer, this guy's from somewhere else, he's the bad guy. It doesn't mean he can't be a heel, doesn't mean he can't be a bad guy, but you're not presented as he's the bad guy because he's from somewhere else. Those types of things, I think, have taken guys like Shinsuke and given them the chance to elevate to stardom. I think that the same has happened for you, and we're watching that star rise because of it. What does it mean to kind of be able to continue to pull from your roots as an Austrian wrestler, as a European wrestler, but be here in the States and not just be portrayed as, well, he's from somewhere else, so he's the bad guy, but to be able to give a version of yourself, heel or face, that kind of plays off of that?
Yeah, I mean, times have changed too. And it's like, if you look, I totally get the concept of like the bad foreigner comes in and wants to get the title from our guy. I mean, if that would be any other sports and whatever, the American national basketball team plays against Croatia, then
you want to win.
You will be Croatians, right? Because they come to gain the title. But, and because wrestling was sports-based on its, in its roots, I guess that's where that concept came from. But then when it became more entertainment, then it became more colorful and over the top. And I'm glad we got away from that again, because like you said, it always depends on the situation. I think if I ever get to wrestle Cody Rhodes again, I think the roles there are clear. I am that bad guy from somewhere else, and I want to beat that that very popular American guy up, and I think that's totally fine. But like you said, just because somebody's from somewhere shouldn't be portrayed a certain way. But also I think as long as if you're good at what you do, even though sometimes you get put in a position where your character doesn't fit that, the audience will create a certain respect for you, I feel like, and will appreciate that. And then it's going to naturally develop where it's supposed to be over time.
So Rob and I have been fans all our lives. I'm actually 54, so I'm a grandpa. When I started being a wrestling fan, it was with my papaw. He was bedridden, and he was a lot older than me. The only way we connected was on Saturday nights watching wrestling.
Yes.
And one thing that you have said a bunch of times, and there are fans that our fans that are watching or listening now who are not wrestling fans, what makes the ring sacred?
What makes sacred is we take it very serious. Like I talk about us in the sense of like Imperium, our group, and we take our profession, our craftsmanship very serious. We're very proud about that. Like when somebody asks me, what do you do for professions? Like, I'm a professional wrestler. I'm a wrestler. I'm proud about that. So, and there are people in this sport where, like everywhere else, that do wrestling because they want to take advantage of that. They want to gain the biggest upside for them out of it. And we believe we're in this because we want to contribute to the history of this sport and of this business, and not first and foremost for our own benefit. And that's why we say to us, the ring is sacred, that like the mat is sacred, because that's our holy ground. That's where because of that sport, we are in a very fortunate position in our life. And yeah, we just want to show our respect to them.
Glad you talked about that. Current WWE reigning, defending, undisputed Intercontinental Champion Gunther is in the studio with us. We've got to run to a quick break. When we come back here in just a minute, I want to talk to you about what it means to carry that title. Because I have said for years, like everybody's always talks about the World Heavyweight Championship, the Universal Championship, but to me, the history of wrestling is really made with the Intercontinental Champion, and I want to ask kind of what it means for you to be able to hold that title over your shoulder when you walk to the ring. We'll take a real quick break. We'll come back. We'll continue that discussion on the flip side. Rob Alonso and you, the Rob Brown Show's on your radio. This is the Fan Upstate.
There we go. Because that's what I was thinking of. Yes.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Robin Lonzo with you and joined in studio by your reigning, defending, undisputed WWE Intercontinental Champion. Gunther sits with us here on the show till the top of the hour. We left talking a little bit. You mentioned wrestling's history, et cetera, et cetera. I, as a fan, make the argument that I think that the belt that you are carrying right now is the most important belt in wrestling. Historicity-wise, right? You were talking about legends that have carried that belt. Some of them that this is the belt that kind of propelled them to that next level. A ton of guys were holding this belt when they became champ, and we have seen it happen to names for many, many years. What does it mean to you knowing the legacy of that belt and the names like Guerrero and Jericho and Triple H that have carried it and some of them launched into stardom? What does it mean for you to be the Intercontinental Champion, especially when we finally seen it kind of go back to its roots of it's an Intercontinental Champion with wrestlers representing the world being able to hold the title?
Yeah, I mean, it's a big accomplishment for me, of course. Like you said, the title has a huge history. And now to be in a situation that I can, yeah, do my own part and add to its history or its legacy, that's fantastic for me. That fulfills me doing that. I'm also always a believer that the title doesn't, I don't know how that saying is true, but how that saying goes down exactly.
The title doesn't make the man, the man title, makes the title.
Yes, exactly. That's what it is. And I believe in that because at the end of the day, you can win that, but what you do with it, that's the real question, I think. Like, I think there's a, you can be, have that glorious night and win a title, but then the hard work starts,
sure.
I feel like, because then everybody's after you and then everybody expects a lot more and you have to deliver it every time. You have to top it every time. And that process is, yeah, it's a challenge, but it's very rewarding to say that. So it's a big honor, but also I'll just enjoy the ride.
All right, Royal Rumble started out at number one, made it all the way to the end. There was this thing, like in the middle of the Rumble, there was, like the seas parted, and there was you on one side, Gunther, and there was Brock Lesnar on the other side.
Yes.
This is something, we talked about this on the air already. This is something we didn't know we wanted, but we definitely want this, and it looks like you did too. What was that like?
Yeah, of course I wanted to. I mean, Brock is it's like one in a million guy, or one in a 10 million or something like that. I always liked those guys that just stood out from the pack. And when I stopped watching wrestling for a while when I was a teenager, and then when I got back into it again, when I started training, that was the time when Brock was young, but he was wrestling Eddie and Big Show and Kurt Angle and stuff, and the guy was fantastic, a beast. I always loved his matches and was always very impressed with that. And also with the recent years in WWE, I always thought that would be, I think, for a wrestler, my style and stuff, that's my end boss, if that makes sense. I get portrayed as the end boss in wrestling for a lot of guys, but I think Brock could be my end boss. And yeah, I really hope that match goes down at some point.
I was going to ask you, what is your dream match? Is Brock Lesnar on that list?
Oh yeah, of course. But then, to be fair, like, that's always hard to end. There's so many exciting matches out there that would be cool for individually. But yeah, just to nail it down, it's like, what's my benchmark? That's, yeah.
Is it so because of your style, and especially now with the WWE being as wide open as it is with different styles, what's it like for you when you catch somebody that has a completely different style? With it, you know, if somebody like Ricochet that bounces all over the ring and loves to get up in the air and be kind of versatile, what is it like for you guys to put a match together where you've got two very different styles and you have to work together to put on a show and tell that story?
Oh, I like that, to be honest. Usually that my favorite opponents are the ones that are like smaller than me. So I like that. I think the classic story of the David and Goliath, or the underdog, is it's one of the best wrestling stories too. So I would say I would always prefer like wrestle somebody with a different style, because that's what makes it interesting.
Let's talk about this, and this is a little bit more personal, I'm sure, but we have watched you not just as a wrestler transform into this incredible character, but you have gone through a remarkable body progression over the years to get in the shape that you're in today. What has that process been like? I mean, is it just diet and exercise? I got told, I believe you've gone full vegan the other day. You obviously you're in the gym, I assume, 24 to 26 hours a day at this point. What has that been like to transform your body into the character you are today and how you're portrayed?
I'm not vegan. I used to be vegan years ago for a while. Well, to be fair, the only change was the nutrition. Like, I always liked the look of the chunky heavyweights that looked like butchers. I always liked that. And I always worked out a lot. But when I knew I would come to the main roster and stuff, I thought it's time to bring the best version of myself in front of the biggest audience I can be. And yeah, that was it, actually. So I really focused on that during like the time before I came to the main roster. And yeah, that's basically it.
It looks like you weren't the only one. I mean, there's somebody else in Imperium looks like they did the same thing.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, those guys, Gio and Kaiser, they kicked my ass in the gym and we worked out together. And they were doing, because they themselves had a crazy transformation. They always were leaner than I am, but they were not by far as ripped as they are now. So a few months before I started, they started doing that, and that inspired me, of course, too. So I was like, okay, guys, come on, we do it together.
So you're in this group Imperium with these guys, and you know, one thing that I think WWE over the last couple of years is they've kind of been willing to lift the curtain a little bit and let us into the lives of you guys as wrestlers, not just in the ring but out of it. I had a couple people that asked when we announced this interview if you would give what life is like between two shows, right? Like when you're on the road, you guys have house shows that you've got to do, so there's a lot of traveling, et cetera. But is it traveling with these guys, just kind of having fun, living your lives, hitting the gym when you can, kind of stuff? Like what's in a nut and bolts version, what's life on the road for you and the guys that you're wrestling with?
I mean, I can only speak for myself and Gio and Kaiser, because we travel together. That's great as well to have my two best friends basically with me the whole time, and we can do this all together, because alone it would be way more annoying and stressful, I would say. I think people always have that expectation of like there's a little bit of rock and roll lifestyle going on or something like that, but yeah, I'm sorry, it's not as exciting. We go We have we come in and we have our Yeti cooler and we have our food prepared for the weekend and we hit the gym every day. We travel where we need to travel to. We get our cardio in, we wrestle, we eat right, and then usually when it's time that we get back to the hotel, we're like, okay, we gotta sleep now because we gotta recover as well. So it's really nice. It's just here and there, to be honest, when there's like last week after the Rumble was something was like, we go out and we enjoy a little bit, have a few drinks or something.
I meet Gunther in the bar. What are we drinking?
Usually white wine with sparkling water or whiskey.
The spritzer, or you could not have two more opposite drinks, man. You're all over the map.
I mean, I'm from Vienna. Vienna is a wine city.
Sure.
So like the spritzer is something that is served at every little pub or something like that for €1.50. That's a very common drink, so that's where it's from. And yeah, I like whiskey. That's
my guy. Nice. I knew I liked this guy. WWE Intercontinental Champion Gunther here in the studio with us for just a few more minutes. Let me ask you about when you get a show like tonight, you're here in Greenville. This is a place that has a huge wrestling history. The Carolinas really as a whole do. You know, we've had the Hardy Brothers on in the past. They're from the Carolinas. Paul White, Big Show over in AW, he's from here. I have enjoyed, of all the places I've seen wrestling shows, I've enjoyed them in the Carolinas because the crowd has, like Alonzo pointed, I mean, all of us, most of us, got our love of wrestling from our dad. I remember watching Ric Flair in his prime with my dad when I grew up. He watched it with his dad in the Bruno Sammartino days, etc. When you get in front of a crowd, especially like in Greenville, that comes from a wrestling hotbed that you know has fans for generations, can you kind of feel that when you're about to come out from Gorilla and make your walk to the ring? Like, is there something extra, or do you really, I mean, like, is every night the intensity that you want to bring?
Yeah, the thing is, like, of course, there's, like, when you go certain areas, there's, like, sometimes there's a romantic feeling as a wrestler about it a little bit when it has a long history and stuff like that. But to be fair, that's something, that's a standard we need to hold up to for ourselves is wherever we wrestle, we got to bring the same effort, the same intensity, the same energy and stuff like that. You just feel when you go to a certain area where there wrestling is a big history, you just feel that the audience is a little bit more smartened up to what we do, or you can go into a little bit more detail with your matches and stuff like that because they're going to pick it up.
WWE Intercontinental Champion Gunther in the studio with us. Friday Night SmackDown is tonight at the Well, Bon Secours Wellness Arena, downtown Greenville. He will be there. Imperium will be there tonight. Yes. Got a tag match against Ricochet and Strowman.
Very important match, actually.
Because it's an elimination match, effectively, it's a qualifier.
It's a final.
Yeah.
It's the final of the tag team tournament. So the winner of that has a good chance to challenge for the tag team championships. We're with the Usos, so.
What's the mindset for the boys considering, we talked about mixing those styles. You've got the man amongst monsters in Braun Strowman. You got Ricochet, who loves to be all over the ring. What's the mentality of Imperium getting set for that match tonight?
Yeah, it's a complicated one, right? You just mentioned that. Two different opposites. Usually teams are somehow equal. I have full trust in the guys. They're both phenomenal wrestlers, like fantastic athletes. They wrestle with their heart when they're out there. And yeah, they will find a way. Like, to be honest, we haven't discussed it so far, and I try not to interfere in their match strategies too much because they got to do their thing as well as much as I do, but I will definitely be there to support them.
What do you, we always see valets, managers, other superstars yelling in the ring. What are you yelling when these guys are having their competition? Like, what are you telling them? Is it tactical strategy? Is it get this done or we're going to have a talk afterwards? As kind of the de facto leader of the group, what are you yelling at these guys in a heated match?
In the heated match, I would give them, like, I would make them pay attention to things that they don't do in that moment because they're busy with something else. Or I would shout encouragement. I never yell at them. I yell for them.
Yes! If that makes sense. Yes! Gunther, motivational speaker. I'm here for it. Thank you for coming in, man. It's an absolute pleasure. Very much looking forward to see you, not just tonight, but for the rest of your career, man. I think you absolutely rose that star in that Royal Rumble match, and I'm sure there is a lot more to come. So congratulations on that, and thanks for coming by.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for having me.
Of course. That is your reigning, defending, undisputed WWE Intercontinental Champion Gunther. He will be alongside his group Imperium live tonight for WWE SmackDown at the Bon Secours Wellness Arena. There are a few tickets still left. And not only will Gunther be there, but Lonzo will be there too. So, like, just rising stars all over the place. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back for the third, final, and best hour of the Rob Brown Show. After this, you are listening to the Fan Upstate.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.